بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last time we met, we talked about what Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for the believers in paradise. Allah says in Surah An-Naba, verse 31, Verily, for the muttaqun, there will be a success, that is paradise, both in time and in location. Gardens and grapeyards, and young full-breasted mature maidens of equal age, and a full cup of wine. No lahu, which is dirty, false, evil talk, shall they hear therein, nor lying. A reward from your Lord, an ample calculated gift, according to the best of their good deeds. Now all of this is originated from Allah the Almighty. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. A reward from your Lord, an ample, sufficient gift. And then Allah moves on to say, رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا. This, the reward, is from the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whatsoever is in between them, the most beneficent, none can dare to speak with him on the day of resurrection except after his leave. So, who is Allah Azza wa Jalla? Who is this gift from? It is from the owner, the sustainer, the provider. It is from the creator of the heavens. There are seven of them. And from the earths, and there are seven of them as well. And whatever is in between, such as great creatures of Allah Azza wa Jal, the heavens, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the skies, and everything else that we know of, and these that we do not know of. And Allah tells us that on the day of resurrection, no one can speak without His permission. And Allah would not address any one of them, because it's a day of shock. It's a day of fear. It's a day of awe. And Allah Azza wa Jal would not allow anyone to speak unless He wills it, subhanahu Azza wa Jal. On that day, Allah tells us in Ayah 38, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. On that day, the day that the ruh, and the scholars differ who the ruh is, who is that spirit. And the most authentic opinion is that it is the archangel Jibreel, peace be upon him. So, that day, the Ruh, Jibreel, and the angels will stand forth in rows. So, a row would be for Jibreel by himself, and another row for the rest of the angels. None shall speak except him, whom the most beneficent, that is Allah, allows him to, and he will speak what is right. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in so many places about His angels. And we will come to discuss this, inshallah, in the following surah. However, just to give you a glimpse, Allah tells us that the angels would come in a row, and their number is so great that you cannot even imagine it. The Prophet ﷺ told us that on the seventh heaven there is a structure similar to the Kaaba. And this structure is known as Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. And 70,000 angels every day come to that place for pilgrimage, never to return to it until the Day of Judgment. And you do the math. How many angels are there? There are uncountable numbers of angels. And on the Day of Judgment, they will come in silence, in submission. They will be submissive to Allah Azza wa Jal in a row. while Jibreel, who is greater than all of them, would come on a row of his own. And this is a display of strength. Everyone is afraid. Everyone is in fear on the day of judgment. And no one shall speak without Allah's permission and providing that he says what is right. This is the day of the major intercession when all the prophets are gathered with the people in a big open plaza. Allah Azza wa Jal would gather the people on the day of resurrection. As the Prophet tells us, alayhi salam, they will be barefooted, naked, uncircumcised as the day they were born. And Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, looked at the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, men and women? Meaning that would men and women be gathered naked in the same place? Wouldn't they look at each other? And the Prophet tells her, O Aisha, it is more serious than what you think. In the sense that it is so terrifying that you cannot even take a glance at the one next to you. Because you're so terrified, you don't have the ability to do so. It is exactly that it's like when someone is driving a car and he sees a fully loaded truck coming towards him, and he knows definitely for sure that he is going to die. And there happens to be a nude woman here or there. Would he take a glance? Or he would be frozen and unable to see anything except this catastrophe coming to him? This is an example. And it's far, far greater and horrendous and terrifying than this. So no one would speak. The Prophet tells us, Islam, that on that day, the sun draws closer to the people until they sweat, and some of them drown in their own sweat, depending on the deeds. And it's so close to them that people sweat, and those with good deeds, their sweat will reach their ankles. And those with lesser deeds, it would reach their knees or hips. And those who were sinful and did not have good deeds, it would make them drown in their own sweat. On that horrific day, that is 50,000 years long, the people go to Adam and ask him for intercession. They say, Allah created you with his two hands. So don't you see what we're suffering? Ask Allah for reduction and for leniency. Intercede for us with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he rejects this. And he said, no, I ate the forbidden fruit. Go to Nuh. So they go to Nuh and they say that you are the one whom Allah Azza wa Jal made you the father of all humanity after the flood, and that you are the father of the prophets and messengers, etc. Intercede for us. And he says, no, I had a supplication and I ask Allah to destroy my people. Go to Ibrahim. So they go to Ibrahim and they praise him and they said that you're this and you're that. Intercede for us. And he says, no, I had three lies that I had said. Go to Moses. And they go to Musa, peace be upon him. And he said, no, I killed an innocent man. Go to Isa. Go to Jesus. They go to Jesus and he says, I'm not the one. Go to Muhammad. So they go to Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they tell him, intercede for us. And he said, yes, I am the one to do so. So he falls on his face, prostrating. Allah opens his heart with praises and glorification to Allah Azza wa Jal he had never thought of. And he keeps on praising Allah Azza wa Jal with beautiful names of Allah he did not know of. Until Allah says to him, raise your head. Ask and you shall be granted. Intercede and you shall be given. And this is the time where the Prophet will get al-maqam al-mahmood. This is the wasila that the Prophet would be given, alayhi salam. Unlike what people say, that Allah would make him sit next to him on his throne, and this is not authentic. And it's inappropriate. This is the authentic hadith in the major intercession. So no one shall speak except those who are given permission. And this is in reference to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would say also that which is right and correct. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا. So behold, that is without doubt the true day. So whosoever wills, let him seek a place with his Lord, and that is by obeying him in this worldly life. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Just before the break, ayah 39. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقَّ فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. That is without doubt the true day. So, whosoever wills, let him seek a place with his Lord. So, let us analyze this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that this is the day. This is what it comes all down to. All of your desires, all of your beautiful days and nights, all of your loved ones, all of your good and bad deeds, everything that you worked hard for, this is it. This is the day where you will be held accountable for what you had done. So, as long as you acknowledge of the existence of such a day, wouldn't it be wise that you prepare for it? Wouldn't it be smart for you to be ready to what's coming to you? So, that day, you have the free will to choose and to select what your adobe would be. Would you like to end up in hell? The sky's the limit. Do whatever you want. Be disobedient. Be sinful. Don't care about what Allah wants from you. But at the end, this is what's going to be your final destination, hellfire. But if you want paradise, if you want to be close to the Prophet ﷺ, if you want to be with his companions, if you want to be with the righteous folks, then you have to do something else. And that is, you have to do righteous deeds and refrain from bad deeds. And the choice is yours. Allah says that the choice is yours. Now, the issue of free will, the issue of predestination, this is an issue of confusion among a lot of the folks and the people. As believers, as mu'mins, as believers and Muslims, we believe that there are six pillars of faith, of iman. And the last one is to believe in destiny, to believe in the preordainment, whether it's good or bad. You have to believe in it. So, this causes a lot of confusion among people. How is this? And how would we have free will? If Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is an authentic hadith, the Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah created the pen, Allah told the pen to write. So the pen said, what shall I write, my Lord? And Allah told the pen to write everything that is going to happen till the day of judgment. Everything. So if I lift my left hand, it's written. And if I put it down, it's written. If I look at my laptop, it's written. If I sit back, it's written. And this, the Prophet tells us, alayhi wasalam, was written down 50,000 years before Allah had created the creation. So everything you will do is written down. It has been noted down. So now the confusion comes and says, okay, if I am going to do bad deeds, these bad deeds are written, and it's also written that I am going to end up in hell, or I'm going to end up in paradise. So where's the free will here? I don't have a free will. Allah Azza wa Jal has already ordained this, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows that I'm going to do this. So Allah is forcing me. No, Allah is not forcing you. Allah tells us in the Quran so many places that the choice is yours. You make the choice. And Allah Azza wa Jal would do this for you. So the choice is yours and you have free will. And the biggest example for that is if I ask you to go to a high rise, look at the highest building in town, and go to the roof and look down to the street. It's a long way down. Now, if you are a believer, take a leap and jump. If Allah Azza wa Jal has written it down for you, that you will fall on your feet and walk without any injury or harm, it shall happen. But if not, you will die and end up like a pizza on the pavement. Go ahead and jump. Would you jump? On earth would say, are you crazy? You want me to jump and hope that I will land on my feet? Definitely not. My friend, don't you believe in preordainment? If Allah wills it, you will fall on your feet and you'll walk away unharmed. I said, no, man, this is crazy. I'm not going to do this. Then you had a choice. It's your choice that you made, and it is what you have chosen. Likewise, all the things that happen in our lives, Allah is knowledgeable and Allah is wise. Allah has created everything. So Allah, the Almighty, knows what we will do and how things will end up. But He has given us a choice. Now, I cannot justify my sins by saying that Allah willed it. I cannot fornicate. And when someone comes and say, Sheikh, what did you do? This is haram, it's a major sin. And I would say, what can I say? Allah ordained this upon me, so this is what Allah willed. This is wrong. Then whoever says this, you know, hit him as hard as you can. And when he complains and says to you, why are you doing this? Say, Allah ordained it. Allah willed it. So please don't blame me. No one would accept this. Why? Because it's unacceptable. You have the choice. You want to end up in paradise? The choice is yours. You don't want to? Well, hell is so big and huge. The choice is yours. And that is why Allah says in the following ayah, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Verily we have warned you of a near torment, the day when man will see that which his hands have sent forth, and the disbelievers will say, I wish I were dust. So Allah Azza wa Jal is warning us. Allah has given us so many warnings, but we are heedless. We could care less. So much at stake. I see things that I want to enjoy, that I want to have fun. And what the future brings, let it come. Well, the future is not as bright as you think, because you are digging your own grave. And Allah is giving you a warning. Verily, we have warned you of a near torment. The day when man will see that which his hands have sent forth. Everything is recorded. And everything will be displayed in front of you. You will see all that you had done. And you have no excuses. And on that day, Allah says, the Almighty, and the disbeliever will say, I wish I were dust. And this is a wish that every disbeliever would hope for on the day of judgment to come true. And it would not come true. They all wish that they were dust. And what is meant by this? First of all, they wish that they were dust or soil, meaning that they were not created. Because when they see hell, what good was it, these 50 or 60 years that we've spent on earth? Yes, we partied, we had fun, but then what? It's hell for eternity. The least to be punished in hell is a person where a charcoal, a stone of fire, would be put in his sandals. From the heat generated by it, his brain will boil. This is the least to be tormented. So if you smoke, and Allah wanted to punish you for smoking, though you pray 5 times a day and you fast Ramadan, etc., this is your punishment. What about if Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to punish you for taking interest, buying your home and mortgage, doing this, doing that, fornicating, consuming intoxicants, being unfair to your wife, your neighbors, your parents, disrespectful to the elders, etc.? Well, you do the math. The second meaning is, I wish I were dust or soil, that I hope when I died and turned into dust, that I was not resurrected. And the final meaning would be that I wish that I were dust when Allah Azza wa Jal holds the animals accountable for what they had done to each other, then Allah turns them all to dust. So the kafir, the disbeliever, says, I wish I were dust like these animals and not be put through all of this torment and agony. What we learned from the previous set of ayat, that Allah Azza wa Jal holds in honor those who are righteous and practicing. And the beautiful description of the reward in Jannah. And remember, with all this description to us, in it, there are things that no eye had seen, no ear had heard of, and it did not cross the mind or the hearts of any person. So it's just the tip of an iceberg. It's just a reflection, a description. But it has nothing to do with the real thing because it is way beyond our imagination. Also, in the set of ayat, the wine you drink would not make you lie. And it would not make you say false and obscene words. And this shows you that these things in paradise do not exist and that they are abhorred to Allah Azza wa Jal even in this life. In the set of ayat, we know how difficult life is on the Day of Judgment and how it's difficult for those who did not do well in this life. And again, the emphasis on the aqeedah of death, resurrection, and accountability. And finally, Allah Azza wa Jal also tells us, encourages us to do good and to stay away from sins and from evil things. This is all the time we have until we meet in another surah, inshallah. I leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.